May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 1080. 1080. To Jesus, our victorious Lord, the praises of our lives belong. Forever be his name adored, sweet theme of every thankful song. Hymn 1080.
Thank you. Let us read together for our instruction from the Epistle of John, First Epistle General of John, and we will continue to read in chapter 2 from verse 7 to and into the chapter 3, reading to the end. The First Epistle General of John, chapter 2, commencing at the 7th verse. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in me, in him, and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth for ever. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that every one that doeth righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we shall believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. The Lord bless that portion of his holy word and help us in prayer. Gracious and merciful Lord God, we seek to come before thee, and yet, Lord, we come as the apostle speaks. We know not how to pray as we ought, but we would come, Lord, pleading with thee, first for that mercy, that we, because we have sinned and come short of the glory of God, we need, Lord, thy merciful goodness to flow down to us, that we may venture at the throne of grace, and in coming we may find acceptance because of thine own dear only begotten Son, whom thou didst send into the world that he might suffer for our sake, the just for the unjust, and to bear our sins and to bear them away, that we might have pardon through blood, that which he freely shed. So we come to plead his precious name, that name of Jesus, that name of Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, he who, the expected one, came in the fullness of time, and yet he came unto his own, and his own received him not. They are his own in the flesh. But, Lord, those that thou dost quicken by thy grace, through the Spirit's work, that they shall indeed realize the blessings that there are to be had through him who makes us to live, not to live unto ourselves any longer, though once we did, but to live as to his own honour and glory. Who is sufficient for these things? Lord, no sufficiency in ourselves, but we trust we can say in faith that our sufficiency is of God. Therefore, Lord, we look to him. Oh, we look to thee, gracious Saviour, who hast so willingly come that we fellow sinners might live. Lord, the things that thou didst do, when thou didst bear our sin, beyond our comprehension, and yet, Lord, we would believe. Help thou our unbelief. We would believe that there is not one blot or blemish left upon the pardoned soul, because thou hast washed us in that precious fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. We do pray that now thou wilt help us as we gather together, We pray for those that are not gathered because of their parental responsibilities, because of sickness that may detain, because, O Lord, there are those things that have detained them, though we may not know of them. But if they be lawful, then, O Lord, we commend them to thee. Any, Lord, that may stay away without a desire, without any appetite for the things of God, Lord, leave them not to themselves. Could it please thee to yet quicken them? Lord, we know not who thine are, but thou knowest. We also know that there is that time when thou wilt begin that good work. And it may be in youth, it may be in middle age, it may be when we near eternity. The Lord, we know that thou wilt gather all thine unto thyself. Therefore we would seek to pray on. We would seek, O Lord, to do according to the word of God, and according to the whispers, as it were, of the Spirit, that may thus constrain us to go in the ways which are set before us by him whom we profess to love. Lord, help us to love. Oh, we feel so often a coldness, a backwardness, a hardness, a carnality. Lord, break down all that may lie between us and our dear beloved Redeemer. Lord, we pray that we might indeed, confess him as our only hope and consolation. We do pray that thou wilt be mindful of the young, the babes as well as those that are growing up, and how quickly they do grow up. Lord, we would again seek thy keeping power to be upon them, that they may not be enticed away from the ways of truth. But Lord, may they rather have a desire to be found as true servants, with, as it were, their ears bored to the doorposts of thine house, that they are true hearers and true seekers for the word, that it may come into their hearts with power, in much assurance, and therefore in the Holy Ghost. We do, Lord, pray that thou wilt be mindful of those in old age and increased infirmities, and many may be prevented from gathering, but nonetheless, with those that gather, they are with them in spirit. Lord, we would pray that as they come to their last days, may they prove to be spiritually their best days, or they may carry many infirmities, but Lord, they know, or may be brought to see more clearly, what the exchange shall be. O Lord, we pray that therefore with that constancy of a desire, as the apostle had when he said that he desired to be with Christ, which is far better, though he knew it was more needful for those to whom he ministered, that they may still have the gospel ministered to them. And that was the work that thou didst give him to do, And so he was content. Lord, we pray that we may know that true contentment, which is through Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that there would also be mindful of those that have gone astray. Oh, thou canst bring back, if it could please thee. Lord, we pray for those that are away at this time, those that may be travelling many miles in the coming week, others, Lord, are going about their business, having to do with the world, but oh, that they may not be overpowered by those that would have them to do things that are not right in thy sight. Lord, may each be given a clear understanding as to what is permissible, what is indeed lawful, and also the difference between that and what is expedient. And now, Lord, we pray that they would hear prayer again for our sinful land. Lord, what can we say? If there should is pour judgment upon us, and there is much judgment which we see, Lord, the fact that thou hast left us, isn't that judgment? Lord, we say, left us, we trust not altogether. We believe there is still a remnant. And if it wasn't, as Israel of old proved, for that very small remnant, then they would have been as Sodom and Gomorrah. But Lord, we pray that we may yet be preserved. Yet we know the day must come when the time will end. Then the world will burn with that a fire, that consuming fire, and be no more. Then, O Lord, where shall each of us be? Oh, that we may therefore find that him that sets forth the covet from the storm, and in those words, in that dread moment, oh, to hide beneath his sheltering blood, will Jordan's icy wave divide, and land my soul with God. Whether in death or in that solemn day of judgment, yet to be found on Canaan's side. Now, Lord, do pardon us then of every sin. Make up in giving where we fail in asking. There are those things that we may be ignorant of, and yet are being pleaded in the pew. Lord, do hear the prayers and answer them. So accept us in and through the Beloved. We ask it for his name's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 897. Ye poor afflicted souls, give ear, who seek the Lord but fear his frown. What things ye ask in fervent prayer, believing Christ will send them down. Hymn 897.
as the Lord may be pleased to help me, I would again direct your attention to the First Epistle, General of John, chapter 5, and verses 1 to 3. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. The First Epistle of John, chapter 5, and verses 1 to 3. Faith is the gift of God. Without it, we must perish. But faith, God-given faith, will endure those things throughout life, and with it also the virtue of love. And we love him because he first loved us. We would not have loved him otherwise. We would not seek to be as one with him, found amongst those that also run the same race, looking unto the sovereign of their hearts, the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone can dictate the very intents of the heart, that is, the renewed heart, the heart that we are given when born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. And yet when that is given, we know and feel the corruption, the vileness that there is in this old self, this wretched self. Can we rid ourselves from this self? That we could. There lies the unbelief, and that is what you have been singing of hell, that unbelief and those things that affect our constancy in the things of God. It is because of that old nature, and therefore we experience inconstancy. Indeed, we are sometimes hot and cold, as the hymn writer puts it, in half an hour, and even in less time than that. And before we know where we are, the spirit is grieved, and we have to mourn. But there are true mourners in Zion, and those mourners, they do not lose what God has given, and that is our mercy, to give that faith, though he may say, as he did to those disciples, "O ye of little faith." He even said, I think it is recorded in Mark, "Have ye no faith?" And yet, yes, there is that little faith, the faith that lays hold upon him. And that faith that enables us to look to him. The faith that causes us to venture to the throne of grace. Do you venture there? You say, "I cannot but go there." Particularly when overcome with all the trials and troubles that are on every side. The greatest trouble is the sin of my heart. Oh, to be relieved of it. Oh, that it was wholly removed. Oh, that I had not the conflict. But the conflict we have to drive us off to the throne of grace, the troubles we have, to bring us there, to cry unto our God for mercy and for help, that he might be a refuge from the storms that surround us. And where can we hide? Well, our faith looks then to the precious wounds of Christ and knows that there is a true hiding place. Do you believe that? Have you proved it? Belief comes, or rather shall I say, belief is strengthened by the experience that we may have had. But we need it renewed, don't we? But the Spirit is faithful, and he will indeed breathe into us those groanings which cannot be uttered, and yet they are made almost when we are hardly conscious that there is such groaning within, and yet there is a sense that we cannot just cast aside, a sense of feeling ourselves so utterly inadequate, so poor, so wretched. And there the brother spirit breathes out the cry, Lord, help me. Save or I perish. Leave not my soul destitute. Come and save this poor sinner from the mire, from the pit, from the things that stare us in the face and would laugh at us, even Satan, who dares to mock. But now the Lord may indeed appear, and faith may view that here is the very life which is ours. He gave his life for the poor sinner who will find there is a fight, and it is to fight that good fight that we may be overcomers, and we are overcomers through him that hath loved us. Now whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ. We're born of God, if we are brought to believe. You know that the carnal mind will not receive him. You know that the world will not believe him. You know that the false professor will not want him, though they may perhaps, with the most glowing terms, say that they have chosen him. Oh, what sad thing it is if they think they've chosen Christ, but he has not chosen them. But the word is put in this way, isn't it? Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained that you that ye should bring forth much fruit. And that fruit will come from him and being born of God, and now to be brought as children of God to love the commandments. We love God when we keep his commandments. You may say, but we do not believe that we are under the law. There's a difference between loving and rejoicing in those things which are pure honest, lovely, good report. Those things that indeed exhort God in all his holiness. A difference from that than keeping a law, seeking to do that which we shall fail in again and again. The old man will fail. The new man cannot. The new man, as we read, cannot sin because its birth is of a heavenly kind, not of a carnal, a natural kind. No, it desires and grieves when we are left to ourselves, to grieve in our own hearts. You may find it's a daily grief, a daily repentance. That is what we will find, a daily repentance, because we daily sin. We cannot deliver ourselves from it, but he delivers us when we look to him who is our righteousness. Now, I want to try and set before you the blessedness of these two virtues particularly, of faith and love. When we speak of love being worked in our own souls, then the desire is to please him and to keep those commandments. But it is realised that carrying about that body of sin, so often we fall short of keeping the commandment. If we should think of the first commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve, how often do we find we falter? Have you any idols? Idols in your heart? Have you those things that you set up and you perhaps do not, as the heathen, bow down to them, but they mean more to you than your Jesus? For a moment, perhaps, or for an hour, or a day, until the Lord deals with that idol. You know, it's a good thing when the Lord deals with our idols. He could deal with you. But to illustrate what I mean, there was a minister, going back a good number of years now, who knew poverty, times when things were very difficult, and he was given a car to go to the varying engagements that he had so that he could preach at those places. And he came to a stop in one place. I do not know the place or anything like that, but the details are not important. And I think a car came behind and smashed the car. But he was preserved. And his comment was that the Lord broke the idol, but he saved the idolater. The love of Christ towards such a one brought him to acknowledge that he was an idolater, but now his idol smashed. What was it then? It was put in its right place. The repair that was done, well, that vehicle never meant the same because it was in its right place. And you know, when you have something and it becomes marred, however small the marring is, you will find that if grace is given, you will then put it in its right place. The old flesh likes something which is without blemish, but it does not regard the one who is without blemish. No, they cannot receive him, because they would hold, as they did in the days of his flesh, him to be a blasphemer that made himself equal with God. But is he in your eye of faith equal with the Father, equal with God, who is God, and very God of very God, and yet came down to take our nature, found in fashion a man, that he might have compassion as a feeling high priest. And let us be plain. I believe our God is full of compassion. Had the dear Son never assumed our nature, but in assuming our nature, the compassion may be conveyed to the poor sinner, that may then find courage. Courage in the fact that he is loved of his God. And courage to set forth in that love, that he might keep these commandments. If ye love me, keep my commandments. That thou shalt have no other gods beside me. Do not I love thee, dearest Lord? Behold my heart and see, and cast each hated idol down that dares to rival thee. That is the spirit of the child of God. Because faith looks to the object, and there it sees its righteousness. Not any righteousness in self, not any holiness there. No, we still find that our old nature is just as bad, indeed worse than it ever was, because we have the revelation of what we are. We did not have that until the Spirit taught us, convinced us of our sin, every sin, and that sin that you may perhaps never have counted as sin. It wasn't in perhaps the actual thing itself. It was in the spirit that you held, that you used that very thing, that you did that action. Yes, a right thing can be done in a wrong way, in a wrong spirit. Are we guilty? So often we are, but there is forgiveness with God. Now, when faith looks to the dear Redeemer, there it sees the one who pleads on our account. There it sees the one who had suffered for our sin. There we see the one who bled, whose blood makes a rich atonement, that which will please the Father when he beholds his dear only begotten Son laying down his life for his own people. Those people that the Father gave to his dear beloved Son, he formed them for himself, chose them in his Son, that they might be his, even as the Son himself is the whole glory and satisfaction of the Father. And as the Father is the one whom the Son may indeed glorify and glory in, so the fullness of of the Godhead, which is seen in a trinity of persons, where eternal love may ever flow, and now it flows down unto those that were chosen, elect, according to that foreknowledge of God, predestinated to be conformed to his glorious image. And that is why John sets before us here the fact that those in whom the Holy Spirit, or whom the Holy Spirit has worked that work, those that the Father begat, and those begotten who are brought to see the only begotten Son who gave his life, that they in him may be begotten to a lively hope, a living hope, a hope that centers in the fact that what Christ has done, Jesus crucified for me. That was the Apostles' Gospel. And he was determined not to know anything among you, among the people to whom he ministered. Determined not to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. There he knew his sins were laid upon him, that he might make satisfaction. He who knew no sin, yet would be the offering, the sacrifice for sin. Not only did he offer the body, but his soul, his human soul, was made an offering for sin, so that he might then endure the hidings of his Father's face. God, cannot forsake God, if I can put it that way. But as we see the incarnate God, the incarnate Son of God, there may be that which was needful for the dealing of the sins of the people, that he that stood or was there in the sinner's place, yes, Jesus in the sinner's place, heaven's brightest glory sunk in shame, that sinners might adore his name. And oh, to hear those words that came from his lips when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, those things are almost too deep for us to even grasp. And yet, if we are brought to know where our righteousness lies, it is in that willing offering that was made by the true Son, incarnate Son of God, who was spirit and flesh, who was God and man. Well, we will not say any more about that, lest we are wholly out of our depths. But let us come to this, that he that is born of God, are and knoweth God, knoweth the love of God, then shall there not be that keeping of those commandments? By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. We do not stand and observe the people of God as seen in all of their sinfulness. We have to look at ourselves. Can you point the finger at anyone? Can we point the finger at a backslider? Take care. Him that thinketh he standeth, take care lest he himself shall fall. You know, dear friends, we're no better than any other. It's only as we're kept by the power of God, through faith, and that not of ourselves, to be kept. Oh, what a mercy if we are kept. But if you are kept, then you will find you need an eye that will examine your own standing and self. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith or no. There'll be much travail at the throne of grace, lest you find there is something there that ought not to be. You find that there, a leprosy begins, a spot. Is it true leprosy? Is it that which is going to cause me to be shut up forever? If we are shut up, so to speak, and of course I'm speaking in the terminology of the type, if we are shut up for a little time to prove, is there repentance? Is there that godly sorrow? Is there that confession of our sin? And is there faith to look to him, believing that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin? And if he forgives us our sin, then what will he say? Go and sin no more? And yet we know that dear woman who had been charged by those Pharisees with her conduct, their charges were true. She had been an adulteress, caught in the very act. But though caught in the very act of her sin, there she was brought. And those that condemned her needed to show themselves that they were without fault. And there wasn't one that could not. The stones they would have picked up to have stoned her according to the law of Moses, they had to cast them away and go out of the presence, not only of the woman, but also of Jesus Christ. Till it was him and her. Doth no man condemn thee? Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And doubtless that dear woman, if the Lord had said, well, because of what you have been, and it's a public offence, and this was what is must be shown, the real repentance must be made evident unto all those that have known you to be different, known you to be a adulterer as you have been, but now, to show that that is all now being put away, go and sin no more. The evidence of it will then be proved, and then she could go free. Then she would have all the credentials that could testify that she was, and not only that she was pardoned of God, but that she will be rightly received. Well, whosoever believeth, whosoever loveth and keepeth the commandments. There are therefore those commandments that a soul loved of God, a soul who is brought to love him, will desire to be kept from those things which they once perhaps were happy to indulge in, but now they tremble when they are found left to themselves. But what a word that is. And here again we point to faith. Faith beholds this. My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That does not give us license to go and sin willfully and to say, well, I'm saved, so it doesn't matter what I do now. That's licentiousness. That is not grace. No. The soul that is made tender in the fear of God will not want to continue in sin, but will mourn the many times that left to him, to herself, he comes in guilty. But immediately we may find we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. I believe it was the mother of Octavius Winslow, one of those well-known 18th century evangelists, as they were called, contemporary with Whitfield and others, that when she felt that she had done anything wrong, whatever it may be, the smallest thing, when she felt that guilt rise in her heart, she desired and sought to find a place where she could get on her knees and plead for forgiveness. To be brought, perhaps not actually to get on our knees, not always convenient, but to have that spirit of confession and to know we have an advocate. Faith views the advocate, the one that pleads for us in heaven's high court above. And that will bring a sense of thankfulness and praise, which will be realized in those heartfelt tears. And was it for me that he should so suffer that I might be forgiven? A wonderful thing, an amazing thing. No wonder John Newton, when the Lord had worked his work in his soul, wrote that hymn, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. But now, with all that is before us, how we need to be kept. And the Lord does keep his own. by the Spirit that he has given them. And not only that Spirit, that new nature, but also he grants communication, if I can put it this way, of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit itself, to witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God, the daughters of God. What a witness. Oh, you desire to have that testimony. And if you have felt that you have come short and you have broken the least of the commandments, then how much you need that gracious Spirit to again assure your conscience of its part in the Redeemer's blood. So by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. The love of God that is formed in our hearts. It's his love. And it is that can draw us. Draw me, we will run after thee. Again, we find the psalmist says, I will run in the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Well, I must come to another thought, and that is this. Will you run in the way of those commandments? Or will you be seeking to honour him in those things that now you desire and love? Will you profess his name? Do you count him dear? Is he now one that you will not wish to offend? If ye love me, keep my commandments. Consider what I've done for thee, poor sinner. And what is indeed the thing that may thus carry you through? It is when you keep close to me, and not only that we keep close in spirit, but also in profession. You may try to keep close in a mere profession and not have the spirit. That is a solemn thing. But if you possess that grace of God, that love for him, the desire to be even like unto him, that you may desire to have that mind, as the apostle in writing to those Philippians exhorts, and an exhortation, it will rather activate, if I can put it that way, the very passions of the living soul, the new man of grace. And when therefore it says this, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But what indeed comes before that? It is this. If there be any consolation in Christ, if there be any love, if there be any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Now, that is the desire. That is the desire. We may often fear that we come very far short. We prove indeed our own fickleness of heart. We prove that we have no strength in our own self. And if the Lord should withhold for a moment, then we may indeed fall. But it is our mercy if the Lord proves to us that our strength is to sit still, to be still, to know that he is God, to wait only upon him. For there is the expectation, not only the expectation of glory, though it can be considered as that, but also the expectation that he will be to us everything that we need. And God is faithful. Faithful is he who calls you, who also will do it. And again, we read those words in the first chapter of that of the Corinthians, which reads, or the first epistle of Corinthians, which reads this: God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. You may say, Mr. Hyde, you have set such a high standard, I cannot hope to attain to it, neither can I, not in anything that is in me, but to be found in him. That may it be my constant prayer, your constant prayer and desire, that we may be found in him. Found in him whilst we continue in the race that is set before us, laying aside every weight, the sin that doth so easily beset us, looking alone to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And there we may find our faith is strengthened to lay hold of that eternal life which is only found in him. Well, then, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. If we turn to the 11th chapter of Matthew, there we read the words, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and light, and ye shall have," and it's gone from me. You know how it ends, how it goes. "And ye shall," I've just found it, "and ye shall have rest," ye shall find rest unto your souls, "for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." That is really the meaning of this word. "And his commandments are not grievous." They're not grievous because his yoke is easy. It's light. There's a delight to walk in those ways. a longing to be found in those ways. Therefore, will we find that it is a cumbersome thing, a grievous thing? No. The commandments are not grievous because he kept them. And if we are to keep the commandments in the spirit that he gives us, it is through him alone that we do so. Well, I leave the subject there for your thought and consideration and prayerful consideration to bring you to the throne of grace, that he may show unto you what ye ought to be, even though you may have to confess that you're not. And it's what we ought to be that may bring us to more frequently to the throne of grace and say, plead with him, take away all iniquity, all the sin that is in my heart. Remove it, Lord, remove it, all that I might be found, therefore as living unto thee and not as unto the world. Come out from among them, be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my children. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For the things of the world, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen.
God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Adrian Pickett. Mr. Graham Hadley is expected to preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Michael Ridout next Lord's Day, who will also address the Sunday school in the afternoon, if the Lord will. We close with hymn number 380. O Jesus, thou fountain of grace, enliven my heart, and show the sweet smiles of thy face, and from me bid evil depart. Pronounce, I am thine, a sinner once purchased by blood, and may I forever recline on the bosom of Jesus, my Lord. Hymn number 380.
pardon, dear Lord, anything that thy pure eyes have seen amiss in us. Anything said amiss, Lord, may it be removed from the thoughts and minds of the people. But what has been spoken in love, what has been spoken in truth, what has been spoken to thine own honour and glory, seal it home upon our hearts. May we not, Lord, lose it as we go our separate ways, but may it, Lord, be that which may sustain us, keep us, uphold us during the course of the week that we've now entered. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt cause thy word to be our meat and our drink. Pardon now our every sin. We ask it for Christ's sake. Now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us evermore. Amen.